So the Alliance has a theme for the missions conference for this year, and it's prepare the way for the Lord, and all people will see God's salvation. And to prepare the way for the talk for this morning, I wanted to give you some background for what is Bangalo and what's going on there. So first of all, Bangalo is in Gabon. Gabon is on the west side of Africa, and it's right where the equator goes through. So it's right there on the west side. And it's a really pretty place. So there is a lot of rainforest there. There's savanna. This is a picture that's taken right out from back behind the hospital. So the closest town to the hospital is La Bamba. And this is beautiful downtown La Bamba. Those animals are sheep. And you can tell they're sheep because their ears and their tails go down as opposed to goats whose ears and tails go up. And here in America, I never thought it was difficult to tell the difference between the two because they look a lot different here. But so the passages in the Bible where it talks about separating the sheep from the goats seem kind of odd, but their sheep and goats do look a lot alike. This is the sign you see when you arrive at the hospital. And this is the overhead view of the hospital. So you can see it doesn't look like UPMC. And there are a lot of buildings that that you have to go between. So I'm not sure if you can see, but the big building that is over on this side is the church. And this building that's under construction here is the Sunday school building. And over on the other side, there's surgery. The U-shaped building in the middle is pediatrics. The building with the green roof is the emergency department building. The long building is medicine. The most infectious tuberculosis patients are down here. So I get to run between all those buildings all day long. And so when patients arrive at the hospital in the morning, the first thing that they do is they meet with the chaplain, who is usually over here on this side. And then they start off with the cashier. And after the cashier, they will go to a number of different places. So they might go to adult consultation or surgical consultation or pediatrics or maternity. Surgical consultation is this building over here. The HIV clinic is up on top. And so they split up. And so this is what it looks like when the patients arrive at the hospital in the morning. And so I get to wear lots of hats there. I'm a doctor that does both internal medicine, so it's taking care of adults, and pediatrics, so taking care of kids. And I'm now the medical director of the hospital since May. So if you saw the video this morning, Keir was still the medical director when they did the video. I take care of the adults in the hospital, which could include things like the tuberculosis program, the adults outside of the hospital, which includes things like the emergency department, and outpatient consultation, which could include things like the leprosy program, because yes, we still have leprosy. I am the director of the HIV treatment center, and I particularly take care of the pediatric patients there. I am the physician director of the lab. I do pediatrics one day a week when our pediatrician does her administrative time. And I teach Sunday school. And teaching Sunday school can also include things like supervising construction and doing drama and doing props and costumes. So in this picture, I am wearing a hat, and this is the angel from the Easter play who got to say, "He is not here, he is risen." And of course, he gets to say that in French because we speak French there. So this is outpatient consultation. And usually when people come to outpatient consultation, they see a nurse who's kind of like a nurse practitioner. And the nurse practitioners will see things that are normal for us, so things like malaria and high blood pressure. And so they will treat the things that are things that they can treat, and then if it's something that's complicated, they come find me. And so here are Eveline and Gael coming to find me. And inside the building, there are blue tiles on the wall, which kind of made me think of a swimming pool. So one of the other doctors and I painted murals on the wall that had water themes. So there's one of the water theme murals of Peter getting out of the boat. And so there's captions next to the murals. That one says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And inpatient medicine, just to kind of give you an idea, there's 14 rooms with two beds in each room, and each patient has to have a family member that's with them, that stays in the room with them and makes their food and takes care of them while they're there in the hospital. And I explained a little bit during Sunday school, but one of the other things that's really important about Bongalo is we have something that's called the PACT program, which stands for the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. And it's a surgical training program that teaches African doctors to be surgeons. They will stay there for 5 years, and it's our current surgical residents are from Madagascar, Burundi, Congo, and Angola. And in a lot of places in Africa, doctors, well, there just aren't surgeons. And so people will die from things like a hernia or appendicitis or a need for cesarean section that people don't die from here. And so just as an example, before the Ebola crisis, Sierra Leone, which is a country of 6 million people, had 8 surgeons, and they lost 2 of them with Ebola. And so these doctors get trained, and they go back to the countries that they came from, and they'll a big part of the program is discipling, and they'll get to be strong Christian leaders when they go back to their hospitals and their villages, cities. And so this whole program started at Bongalo, and now there's a bunch of programs like this throughout Africa. And so this is our last graduation, which was in August. And we also have a nursing school that that trains nurses. So teaching is a really important part of what goes on at Bongalo. And this is Sunday school. This is the building that's finally there. And the little boy in the front row with the grand white striped shirt is Andy, that we'll see later. Sunday school usually has at least 150 kids. Sometimes we've gone over more than 200. So the big kids has around 70. The little kids has usually 100 or so. And so you can imagine that before the building, we were meeting at the hospital. So more than 150 kids starting at age 3 to 4 and going up to junior high school in the hospital with the sick people and potentially sharp objects was not the ideal way to go. And so I'm so excited to have a building. And one of the perks, however, of meeting around a hospital is that for costumes, we do get to use some patient gowns, and those are rolled bandages and some receiving blankets from the babies. And so this is going over to church to sing for Easter. And church, since it's so hot there, church is open, and birds and butterflies can fly through. So that's a little background of some of the things that are going on there at Bongalo. And so to get to the theme of prepare the way for the Lord, the verses come from Luke 3, and particularly the verses at the end, which are a prophecy from Isaiah that says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way is smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. So this has to do with John the Baptist coming and preparing the way for Jesus and proclaiming that the King is coming. God is the great waymaker. And what we do at Bongalo is for proclamation. Last year at Bongalo, there were over 2,300 people that decided to follow Jesus there at Bongalo because of getting to hear about him and proclaiming. This picture doesn't look like a lot, but it's one of my favorite pictures out of all of them. These are canes that the blind people came with, and they had their cataract surgery or their other eye treatment, and they can see. They didn't need the canes anymore. They got to live without them. And so people are getting to hear about Jesus. They're getting treatment. All this is happening in God's name. God's name is getting proclaimed at Bongalo. And what we do is for proclamation, and even though there are obstacles, the King is still coming. He's making a way. And even in the frightening and difficult things, they're using it for proclamation. So there have been a lot of obstacles from the past year. We have had lack of certain medicines, particularly some of the medicines for HIV. There's been violence in Libreville. There was an election, and the results were announced in the beginning of September, and the opposition candidate did not agree to the results, and his supporters burned down the parliament building. And the military has been kind of keeping control in the country. So that's been difficult. There's a lot of stray gunfire in the capital city. We were 350 miles away from the capital, so we didn't have to, that wasn't affecting us directly, but still it was a very difficult time for the country. We've had a loss of some of our team members. So those of you who saw the video this morning, the Kieran Joanna Thielander have come back to the States to accept a position here as the chief medical officer of PACS. So they're no longer with us, and so that's why I'm doing part of CURE's job as the medical director, and Zach is doing part of CURE's job as the PACS director, and another guy named Eric is doing part of CURE's job as the team leader. Carolyn, who is in the video as the nursing person, is no longer with us. Rachel Thompson is no longer with us. So many of the people you saw in the video, which isn't that old, aren't there anymore. And we've had different people who've been sick. Paul, who's in the video, had to come back with me because he's been sick. Wendy, the ophthalmologist in the video, is getting surgery at the end of this month. So that's been difficult. There's a woman in Libreville who is threatening to keep our medicines from coming into the country, and there have been different kinds of spiritual attack. But despite that, God's message is still getting out. Purpose. We are waymakers with Him. Waymakers are people who are transformed, people who love rather than fear, and people who proclaim. And I wanted to tell you about the multi-drug-resistant TB patients. Multi-drug-resistant TB is TB that no longer responds to the normal medicine. And so normal TB, we treat that all the time there, but multi-drug-resistant TB is... It's a little bit scary even for me because, like, if I catch it from these guys, I can't get on a normal plane. Air is recirculating on a plane. And the medicines for multi-drug-resistant TB don't exist in Gabon. It's something that I've seen some of this over the course of time that I've been there, and these patients, they uniformly die. And I've tried to talk to the people with the National Tuberculosis Program about getting these medicines in the country, and they just don't exist. And one of the patients that I cared for even earlier this year died. And so it's been something that's been sad, kind of scary for me and the other staff at the hospital. And so finally this year, there's a research study in combination with another research institute in Gabon that we can treat this. And so the guy in the purple just finished up his first 4 months of treatment since I've gotten here to America. And so he no longer has the germinous sputum, and he's gained weight, and he's left the hospital after 4 months. He still has 5 more months of treatment. But he's gonna get to live and go home and be with his child, and so this is amazing to me. And these three guys are the only three people in Gabon that are getting the treatment for this. And so, like, God is working a way to do this, and this is what they look like without the mask. I didn't get that close to them. This is Andy, and Andy was that kid that was in the front row of the Sunday school picture. He's one of the kids that I take care of who has HIV. He got it from his mom when he was born. The pictures on this side are from one of the Operation Christmas Child gift distribution days. So on top, he's holding the gift on his head. So we have them all hold it on their head for just a second so we can make sure that everybody has one and just one gift. And then they all rip into it. And so if you ever wondered about if those gifts get to us, they do. And so I've been taking care of him since 2009. And it's these kids, it's difficult for them. They get passed between like aunts and grandparents and different people. Like Andy's mom has died. And so that his grandma didn't necessarily understand how important it was for him to take the medicine every day, and different relatives sometimes don't, not necessarily for Andy, but different relatives don't necessarily care for a child with HIV as much as for their own children. And so if the children don't take the medicines every day, the virus develops resistance. And so I could tell for Andy that his medicines weren't working as well. So this year, he's the first person at Bungalow that has gotten HIV genotype testing, and I've had to change his medicines. And so I think his medicines are working better now, and so my goal for him is that he stays on his medicines until somebody finds a cure, and he's doing well right now. You can tell that I do wear these clothes to church in regularly in Gabon, and so that's Andy. And this is Doreen. Doreen, this is the day, she's 1 year old, and her mom took the medicines, and this is the day that we celebrated, and we found out that she did not catch HIV from her mom. This year is the first time ever since I've been there that we have not had all the medicines that to prevent HIV transmission from mother to child. I had talked to the director of the National HIV Program earlier this year, who suggested that I try to buy some of the medicines. And the same lady who was trying to block us from getting our normal shipment of medicines blocked that. And I think that finally, before right around the time that I was leaving the country, we've figured out what we need to do. To get the medicines, and that's a real answer to prayer. So I'm still working on this from the States. So God is not calling us to do something for him. He's calling us to come and do something with him. And those verses end with a promise that all people will see God's salvation. And I wanted to tell you two stories about this. One is the story of Edmund and the Church of Iteke. So Edmund is this little guy here, and he has congenital heart disease. So he was born with a difference in how his heart was shaped. And he came to the hospital, and both he and his dad, Mark, decided to follow Jesus at the hospital. And for Mark, it was a really big change in his life. And when they went back to their village, Iteke, there were a bunch of people who just said, wow, Mark is like a completely different guy. Like, we want to know about Jesus too. And so there was a bunch of people that decided to follow Jesus because of the change that they saw in Mark. Iteke is way deep in the rainforest. So if you start out from the hospital and you go about 2.5 hours north into the rainforest, it is harder to get to Iteke than it is to get to Timbuktu. But now there is this group of believers, and this is the Alliance Church at Iteke. So this is like a sister Alliance Church in the rainforest at Iteke. And the building that they meet in used to belong to a Belgian gold mining company that was there in the 1930s. And so that building is where they put their machinery. And so I've been there a few times to try to encourage them. One time I brought them some paint to paint over the graffiti and things that are on the wall of the building. And another time I brought them some Bibles, because I noticed that a few people had some New Testaments, but hardly anybody had an Old Testament. And the first time I went, I was kind of surprised, because after I arrived, the preacher said, and our preacher today is Dr. Renee. And so the next time when I brought the Bibles, I was kind of prepared for it, and I preached from the Old Testament, and I showed them how from the Old Testament, I actually preached from the book of Habakkuk because that is something that I find encouraging. And so I showed them how Habakkuk has this verse that says the righteous will live by faith that's repeated three times in the New Testament. And so the things from the Old Testament get repeated into the New Testament. And there was one young woman that decided to follow Jesus because of my French language sermon that got translated into Michogo. And so people are getting to see God's salvation where the road ends, in the deep part of the rainforest, in Eteke. And so this is the story of Binta. Binta is a newborn baby. She's about 2 weeks old when I met her. And her parents are from Mali. So Mali is in the northwest part of Africa. And her parents are Muslim. And they came to the hospital on the Friday evening of one of the big, the important Muslim holidays. And Binta had something called hemorrhagic disease of the newborn. And so it's in America and at Bongalo, babies get a shot of vitamin K to prevent them from bleeding. But where Binta was born in Gabon, she didn't get this. And so before arriving at Bongalo, she had lost at least half of her blood. So she was looking whiter than me. And at this other hospital, they had tried to start an IV, but they had poked holes like all over her little body, and they were unsuccessful. And so she was really very, very sick. And so one of the surgical residents and I started a special kind of IV in the bone in her leg and sent her dad off to the lab to go give blood. And so when her dad went to the lab, we realized that the IV was not functioning properly. And right about that time, she stopped breathing. And so we started CPR, but I told one of the nurses that, you know, call over to the lab because it's too late for them to start getting blood for the transfusion now. And so we're there doing CPR, but the nurse did not call the lab. She went over to the lab, and she came back a little bit later, and she had the pouch of blood for the transfusion. She came back with the baby's dad. So, okay, well, the blood for the transfusion is there. We're still doing CPR. So I prayed out loud in French so that the baby's dad could hear what's going on, and I prayed to Jesus so that he wouldn't be confused about who I was praying to or that it was Allah or something else. And I put the special IV in the bone in her other leg. And while the surgical resident was still doing CPR, and I put in the blood as fast as it would go, and she turned pink and started breathing again, and that baby's family got to see a miracle in Jesus' name. It was so cool. And so people are getting to see God's salvation in places. Mali is one of those places in the top part of Africa where it's red and people don't get to hear about Jesus. And this is just this is one of the Alliance tools of how to pray for people in parts of the world where people don't get to hear about Jesus very much. But like you can pray for the people in Europe on Sundays and people in North Africa on Mondays and things like that. And so for my message for you today, there are a lot of things in the world right now that are kind of depressing to think about. There's terrorism. There are refugees. There are a lot of things. But from my perspective where I am, there were 2,300 people plus who made a decision to follow Jesus last year. There are people who are getting their sight back. There are people that are getting cured of leprosy and tuberculosis. And there are people who are getting to hear from places that are like Eteke, and people who are coming from Mali and getting to hear and getting to see God's salvation. And so God is doing this, and it's because of folks like you who are praying and who are giving. And so come along with God, and he's getting it done. Thanks a lot.